You're listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.
Every CXO conversation I have this quarter opens with the same set of sentences. Tooling rolled out, licenses purchased, pilots underway, training completed, and the engineering organization is producing almost exactly what it was producing 2 years ago. Then the executive says the line, "We went through the training, we bought the licenses, we ran the pilots, and we're not seeing the value. Here's the diagnosis, there's only one solution, and you're the only person who can set it." A new standard for what it means to work at your company for the sake of this article, I'm calling that standard, apply to the engineering role, the AI software engineer. After I have the bottleneck conversation with the CXO, I have the training conversation every time in that order. The bottleneck conversation is about the silos, the measurement gaps, the organizational geometry that hides value from the people paying for it. That one is a separate piece called the bottleneck CEO, and it pairs with this one. The training conversation is what this article is about, and it's the one most executives are quietly losing. Every training conversation I have this quarter opens the same way. The tooling is rolled out, the licenses are purchased, the pilots are underway, the training is completed. A non-trivial percentage of your engineering budget now sits on an AI line item that didn't exist 2 years ago, and the organization is producing almost exactly what it was producing 2 years ago. Roadmap where it was, throughput where it was. The strongest people on your team keep asking, quietly, when the company is actually going to use the tools it paid for. Then the executive says the line I've heard in every one of these rooms. We went through the training, we bought the licenses, we ran the pilots, and we are not seeing the value. Here's the diagnosis, and there's only one solution. The solution is a new standard for what it means to work at your company, and you, the executive, are the only person who can set it. For the sake of this article, I'm going to call that standard, applied to the engineering role, the AI software engineer standard. You'll want your own name for it when you roll it out. I've seen a half dozen reasonable variations, but having a name for the thing lets us talk about it without confusion. So AI software engineer is what I'll use. Your organization is self-measuring its own adoption right now because there's no bar anyone is required to qualify into. Self-measuring and missing standards are the same failure at two altitudes. That's why the engagement survey comes back green while the output stays flat. That's why next quarter you're back in this conference room with a bigger tool bill. From here, the rest of the conversation turns to competencies and capabilities. What does the role actually require now in 2026 on this operating model? What does the organization need to be able to do at the team level and at the seam between teams? How do you set a standard that makes both of those answers real to the people in the building? So competency stops being a talking point on a slide and starts being the pass or not yet call a qualified reviewer makes on a real piece of work. That's the terrain this article covers, and it's the terrain your transformation is quietly avoiding. Before anyone assumes where this is going, I want to say the thing clearly. I'm not advocating for certifications. I'm not asking you to stand up an internal certification program. I'm not asking you to pay a third party to run a two-day workshop and hand out a badge. I'm not asking you to add a line on your engineer's LinkedIn profiles that says Certified AI Native Developer with your company logo on it. The industry has run that play before, repeatedly, and it has not produced the thing it said it would produce. We spent a decade watching certified Scrum Masters run stand-ups that looked exactly like the status meetings they were supposed to replace. We watched certified Agile coaches facilitate the same release train rituals the organization already had, with new words taped over the old ones. The certification didn't transfer the competency. It transferred a receipt. A standard is different from a certification in three ways that matter. A standard is about observable work. It's not about whether you sat through the training. It's about whether your output clears the bar in the real code base, on the real product, under the real governance posture, reviewed by someone who has already shipped at that level. If your qualification path can be completed by someone who has never shipped anything in your company's environment, you're building a certification, and you're going to get certification outcomes. A standard is held by the people already doing the work. There's no external certifier coming in to grant it. There's no curriculum author in another time zone who defines what qualified means. The qualified engineers in your organization calibrate each other, and they calibrate the next cohort, and the bar is re-anchored every time the work itself changes. Certifications freeze a snapshot of a standard and date stamp it. Standards keep moving because the work keeps moving. A standard has consequences on both sides. If you qualify, your role changes in a way the organization sees. If you don't, your role does not change in that way. Certifications can be collected without consequence, which is most of the reason people collect them. Standards can't, because the organization that holds the standard organizes itself around who has qualified and who has not. Competency, the way I'm using the word in this article, is the observable demonstration of the standard, not a credential, not a course completion record, not a quiz score, a piece of work, shipped, reviewed, calibrated against the bar by people who have already cleared it. Everything that follows in this article is about how to design, deploy, and defend that kind of bar. If you come away from this piece shopping for a certification vendor to roll out across the engineering org, you have read the exact opposite article from the one I'm writing. You did not have a training problem. You had a standards problem, and you tried to solve it by buying a curriculum. An 800-person engineering organization does not change because you rolled out AI SDLC tooling and pushed a learning path through your LMS. It changes because leadership defined what engineer at this company means. Now, the tooling, the throughput, the quality bar, the governance posture, all of it. And then required everyone in the role to demonstrate they meet the definition. The training is the on-ramp. The standard is the road. One without the other takes you nowhere. When you skipped the standard and went straight to the training, you told the organization it was optional. Optional at scale is a synonym for ignored, and your organization correctly ignored it. Here's what self-measuring looks like in the wild. You ask your VPs how adoption is going. Your VPs ask their directors. The directors ask the managers. The managers ask the engineers. The engineers say, yeah, I use it. That sentence travels back up the chain, lands on a slide, and becomes 78% adoption on your next board deck. Nobody lied. Nobody measured anything either. This is what organizations do when they want the appearance of transformation without the disruption of transformation. The DORA metrics didn't move. Lead time looks the same as it did in 2022. Team composition is identical. The survey said 78%, so the program is green, so the CFO signs the renewal, so next quarter we sit in the same conference room and have the same conversation. Self-measuring is not a data problem, it's a governance vacuum. And the vacuum exists because you, the executive, have not yet said the words that close it. Here are the words, I'll write them out, so you can paste them into a memo if that helps. These are the new standards for working at this company. If you want to continue in your role, here's what you need to demonstrate. Here's the qualification path. Here's the timeline, and here's the support. This is not a pilot. We are burning the boats. Every phrase in that paragraph is load-bearing. Let me walk through the ones executives flinch at new standards. Not guidelines, not ways of working, not a set of principles on a wiki page, measurable, observable, passable, or failable, a thing that says, yes, you're operating at the bar, or not yet. Qualify into a ritual boundary. You were on one side yesterday, you're on the other side today, and something happened in between that the whole team can point to. Without the ritual, there is no change. Your HR partner will tell you this is heavy-handed. They are wrong, and the heaviness is the entire point of the exercise. Continue in your role, consequence. This is the word executives want to delete, and it is the word that cannot be deleted. Take it out, and the standard is a suggestion. Suggestions are precisely how you got here. Burning the boats. This is the signal to the rest of the organization. A one-way door with everyone watching it close. Not a phase rollout that can be quietly walked back in Q3 when someone gets nervous. I was talking to my friend Lance about this last week. Lance and I spent a decade in large-scale tech coaching groups, the kind that parachute into Fortune 100 engineering organizations and try to install test-driven development across tens of thousands of developers. We genuinely believed for years that if we could just get TDD into enough hands, the industry would bend. We were wrong. Not about TDD, which is still good practice, but about the mechanism. You cannot coach your way to a new standard at enterprise scale. You can only govern your way there. The coaches I worked with were excellent. The organizations that hired them kept their old standards intact. So the coaching was decorative. Now with AI, the same lesson is back. Louder. A 5-person team with a real agentic workflow can ship what a 70-person team shipped in 2023. That is not a forecast. That is the throughput curve the organizations that moved are living in right now. And the organizations that moved did not move because they hired better coaches. They moved because leadership set a new bar, required the people in the role to qualify into it, and was willing to have hard conversations with the ones who would not. Coaching still matters. It is the on-ramp. The on-ramp without the standard is a parking lot. Most of the executives I talk to are stuck in one of three places. Sometimes two stuck in the transformation pilot. You have a lighthouse team, maybe two, producing beautiful demos that don't generalize. Why would they generalize? The standard for everyone else's role didn't change. The lighthouse isn't exotic. The rest of the org is still measured on the old bar, which means the rational move for every non-lighthouse team is to ignore what the lighthouse built. Stuck in the developer pilot, you rolled out AI, SDLC tooling, to a few hundred engineers without telling them what was now expected of them. So they used the new tooling the way they used every previous wave of developer tooling. As an accelerant for the work they were already doing, in the pattern they were already working in, you paid for a new capability and got a faster version of the old capability. This is not an AI problem, it is a role definition problem, and no amount of additional tooling fixes it. Stuck in Governance Review, your risk, legal, security, and compliance functions have a set of questions they wrote for the 2018 version of software development, and they're applying them to the 2026 version. The review takes 9 months. During those 9 months, your competitor with looser governance ships. I'm not asking you to ignore governance. Governance is real. The questions are real. The regulators are real. I'm asking you to recognize that governance has a speed, and right now that speed is the binding constraint on whether your company exists in 2028. These are the same failure wearing different costumes. You didn't define the new role. You didn't require anyone to qualify into it. The organization read the signal correctly and kept doing what it was doing. The organization isn't broken. It's behaving rationally inside the incentive structure you set, and it gets worse when you walk a level up and a level out. Walk down a level on your org chart, your directors, your managers, the layers sitting between you and the people doing the work. Ask yourself a quiet question. Did they actually train? Not. Did they attend the leadership session? I mean, did they sit down at a real code base, configure the tooling, run an agent through a piece of work, and feel the thing their teams are supposed to feel? In most organizations, the honest answer is no. They forwarded the training invite to their team, approved the licenses, and went back to running their staff meeting the way they ran it in 2022. This is the layer where transformations die. They don't die because middle managers are bad. They die because nobody defined the new standard for the manager role either. You told your engineers the tools were coming. You didn't tell your managers that the job of managing engineers had changed. So they kept running stand-ups about story points, measuring teams on velocity, approving pull requests on instinct calibrated to 2022 output. When their teams started working agentically, the managers couldn't tell the difference between a good agentic workflow and a sloppy one because they had never run one. A manager who has not shipped with agents cannot coach someone who is shipping with agents. They cannot calibrate the standard. They cannot spot real output from plausible-looking output. That is the expensive mistake, and it is happening in your organization right now while you read this. Can they do it? Most of them, yes. The good ones have been asking for air cover to actually build again. My phone reminds me of this every week. Some of them will surprise you. A few will not make the transition, and you will know which ones inside 60 days. That is information you needed anyway. Why didn't they train? Because you didn't require it of them, and their calendar is full of meetings that made sense in the old operating model. If you want your managers to operate in the new model, you have to give them the time, and you have to require the qualification. Same bar as the engineers, same demonstration, shipped work in the real code base, reviewed by people who have already qualified. Now, the honest version of the question. When you apply the standard to the management layer, the question is not only how do I retrain these people, it is also how many of those layers you still need. The honest answer in most organizations is fewer. In some organizations, quite a lot fewer. Writing code was probably not your bottleneck. Your org was the review chains, the approval queues, the handoffs between teams who should have been one team, the status report theater, the managers managing managers managing managers. Flatten it. Give authority back to the strong individual contributors who are already doing the work. You know who they are. They are the people the rest of the team messages first when something is on fire. Cut the layers that existed to coordinate the old operating model, because the new operating model does not need that much coordination. Then raise the bar for the managers who remain to the same 2026 standard you're holding everyone else to. A smaller management layer with a higher bar is not a cost-cutting exercise. It is the shape an organization takes when the bottleneck moves from how fast can engineers produce code to how fast can the org decide what to build next and get out of its own way. If the manager cannot hold the bar is not held. That is the whole thing. Widen the lens. Standards do not stop at engineering. Your product managers are writing the same one-pagers they wrote in 2022 and handing them to teams that could have drafted, prototyped, and tested three variants in the time it took the PM to write the document. Your designers are shipping static design files into workflows that now iterate on interfaces agentically. Your program managers are running the same status rituals on teams whose work no longer fits the cadence the rituals were designed for. Your compliance reviewers are applying 2018 questions to 2026 artifacts. Your recruiters are sourcing against a job description that was accurate 2 budget cycles ago. Each of these roles needs its own standard. The qualification path for a PM looks different from the engineer's path, but it maps to the same principle. Define the role, require the demonstration, provide the on-ramp, hold the bar, set the standard only for engineers, and you have built a fast engine inside a slow car. The engineering throughput shows up for about a quarter, and then the rest of the organization's latency absorbs it. Intake slow, approval slow, decision slow. The engineers notice first, and the strongest of them leave first. The whole operating model moves, or none of it does. Here's the version that works. I have watched it work. I have also watched it fail, usually at step 5. Nobody enjoys it while it is happening. Step one, define the role. Write the job description for AI software engineer at this company as if the role had just been invented. What does this person do? With what tools? At what throughput? Against what quality bar? With what governance posture? One page, your own words, no committee. Step two, define the qualification, a bounded observable demonstration, a piece of real work, shipped through the real workflow, reviewed by people who have already qualified, pass, or not yet. No participation ribbons. Step three, set the timeline. 90 days for the first wave. Your strongest people go first. You're setting the ceiling, not the floor. Pick the people who will make the bar look reasonable. Step four, provide the on-ramp frontier model access without a token ceiling. Paired time with the people who already qualified. A working body of internal examples, protected calendar space. The support has to be real, or the qualification is punitive. Punitive qualification is the fastest way to lose the people you needed to keep. Step five, hold the line. This is the hard one. Some of your strongest people will not qualify on the first pass. You're going to feel pressure to move the bar. Do not move the bar. Move people. Move timelines. Move support. The bar is the only thing you do not move. Step six, signal across the organization. A note from the CTO in plain language that says, the new standard is the standard. This is not a pilot. And the people who have qualified are the ones defining what the work looks like here. Now, steps one through four are what every consultancy on earth will sell you a deck for. Steps five and six are what nobody sells you because they require the executive to personally hold the line against their own organization. That is the job. If you cannot do that part, the rest is theater. Expensive theater at that. Executives ask me what the one-page role definition from step one reads like. So let me read the sample role definition I would hand to an HR partner if I were sitting next to you with a blank document open. Yours will be different because your product and your governance posture are different. The shape is the thing. AI Software Engineer 2026. You build, ship, and operate production software using agentic workflows as your default operating mode. You're not a person who occasionally uses AI assistants. You're an engineer whose unit of work is orchestrate an agent or several against a defined outcome, review the result against the standard and ship. You're accountable for the outcome, not the keystrokes. What you do, you own the full lifecycle of features from problem framing through production operation. You write the spec, design the approach, orchestrate the agents that produce the code, review every change with the same rigor you would apply to your own, and carry the pager for what you ship. You drive throughput that would have required a team of 5 to 7 people in 2022. This is the expectation, not the aspiration. If your week does not look like that, escalate. We have a bottleneck somewhere, and the job is to find it, not to work around it. You keep the trunk green. Continuous delivery is the default. If you're branching for weeks, you're working in a pattern that does not apply here anymore. You operate with governance baked in, not bolted on. Security, privacy, and compliance checks happen inside the workflow with evidence captured automatically. So review is fast and auditable, how we work. Frontier model access is provided uncapped within reason. Token cost is a cost of goods, not a budget line to ration. If you're throttling yourself on tokens, raise it. You pair with other qualified engineers and with agents interchangeably. The pair review is not optional. Code that no qualified human has looked at does not ship. You write the tests the agent generates, you read them, and you throw out the ones that do not carry their weight. Test suites are assets, not trophies. Telemetry first. If you cannot observe what you shipped inside an hour of it landing, it is not done what you're measured on. Shipped production change that holds up under real load. Lead time from decision to production. Quality in the field, meaning escape rate, MTTR, customer visible incidents. The quality of the reviews you do on other people's work, because the standard is only as strong as the review bar. We do not measure you on pull request count, story points, hours in the office, or lines of code. Those are 2018 metrics, and they are actively misleading on this operating model. What you're expected to know how to build with agents in production, not just in a notebook or a personal side project, that includes prompt and context design, tool use patterns, evaluation harnesses, and knowing when to reach for a smaller model and when to reach for a frontier one. The fundamentals that do not change. Data structures, distributed systems trade-offs, operability, security posture, readability. The agent does not replace any of that. It makes your leverage on those fundamentals larger. The trade-offs between autonomy and oversight. You know when an agent should run unattended and when a human has to sit in the loop and you can defend the call, what qualifies you for this role. A demonstration, one piece of real work, shipped through our real delivery workflow, reviewed by engineers who have already qualified, meeting the standard above, pass or not yet. No certificates, no training hours, no seat time. We provide the on-ramp, you provide the evidence. What this role is not, this is not a role where you maintain somebody else's platform and write a ticket when you want to change. This is not a role where you pass work to a vendor and review the result. This is not a role where your value is measured by years of tenure or by the number of meetings on your calendar. If those are the roles you're interviewing for, there are companies hiring for them. They are not us, and they are probably not going to exist in their current form in 2028. That is one page. Your version will be shorter or longer depending on the product. The test for whether you wrote the right document is simple. Hand it to one of your strongest people and ask, does this describe the job you want to be doing next year, and is the bar clear enough that you know what qualified means? If they say yes, you have it. If they hedge, keep writing. Executives ask me for the manager version too, because the engineer JD is only half the picture. So here's the engineering leader version your HR business partner can lift into a requisition. Same bar as the engineer role, applied to the person who leads the team. Engineering leader, 2026. You're the frontline owner of a team of qualified engineers operating on our agent-driven delivery model. You own the team's outcomes. You hold the engineering standard. You ship alongside the team. You have qualified into our AI software engineer standard yourself, and you stay qualified by continuing to ship. This is not a program management role. If the last time you shipped code to production was before 2024, the role is not for you in its current form, and we will give you a real on-ramp if you want the seat. What you do? You own the business outcomes assigned to your team from scoping through production operation with the governance posture our engineering standards require. You hold the standard. Every engineer on your team has qualified or is on an explicit, time-bounded qualification plan. You make the pass or not yet call in partnership with other qualified leaders. You do not move the bar under pressure. You ship alongside the team. A meaningful portion of your week is in the code. In the peer review rotation, using agents, when you stop doing this, your calibration drifts and the standard drifts with you. You remove organizational bottlenecks. You identify the review chains, approval queues, and status rituals slowing your team down, and you escalate or remove them. Writing code is no longer the bottleneck. You're closest to where the new one lives, and you're expected to be vocal about it. You lead the team end-to-end, hire onboard, coach, promote, performance manage. Transition out when needed. Honest one-on-ones, evidence-based calibration notes, ratings you can defend. You partner with product design and program management on intake and sequencing. You do not accept a roadmap you cannot ship to the standard, and you do not tolerate one whose value you cannot explain to your engineers in two sentences. You carry the pager with the team. You review every significant incident. You own the follow-through, how we work. Frontier model access is provided to you and to every engineer on your team, uncapped within reason. Managing tokens is not your job. Managing outcomes is teams are deliberately small. 3 to 8 qualified engineers. Fewer layers than the last company you worked at. Managers here operate closer to the work than you are accustomed to. Recurring meetings have to justify their seat against the alternative of shipping that hour. What you're measured on. Team outcomes against the business commitments you signed up for. Lead time, quality in the field, and regrettable attrition of qualified engineers. The quality of your reviews, calibrations, and promotions. We will read your write-ups and cross-check them against the evidence. Your own continued qualification. If you stop shipping, you stop qualifying, and if you stop qualifying, you stop leading. We do not measure you on org chart size, meeting attendance, or the length of your weekly report. Those were 2018 metrics, and they are actively misleading on this operating model. What qualifies you for this role evidence in 3 steps? 1. Demonstrate the AI software engineer standard yourself on a piece of real work. 2. Review anonymized work from a peer team and provide your assessment. We compare your calibration against our qualified leaders. 3. Lead a working session with a real team on a real problem. We observe how you remove bottlenecks, hold the bar, and coach to the standard in real time. No take-home case studies, no trivia interviews. No whiteboard syntax. We ask you to do the job in miniature required experience, a demonstrated track record of shipping production software, not of managing teams who shipped it. Current hands-on experience building with agents in production. Prompt and context design, tool use patterns, evaluation harnesses, model selection. Prior experience managing engineers with dignity and follow through, including the hard transitions. Fluency in the engineering fundamentals that do not change. Distributed systems trade-offs, operability, security posture, accidental versus essential complexity. The ability to hold a standard under pressure. Be prepared to describe a time you held a bar that your organization wanted you to move. What this role is not a slides and status role. Not a role your calendar can substitute for your output. Not a role that rewards tenure and management without the hands-on practice to back it up. Compensation and employment, full-time, benefits eligible. Our compensation for roles qualifying at this standard is deliberately above market. Salary ranges are posted in compliance with applicable pay transparency laws, and offers reflect the evidence of your qualification and the market for people operating at this bar. Equal opportunity employer, the product manager version, the designer version, and the program manager version follow the same shape, same about the role stance, same responsibility set built around outcomes rather than ceremony. Same qualifying demonstration, do a piece of the job in miniature, reviewed by someone who is already qualified. Same above market compensation posture. I will not read all three here. The point is the pattern, and the pattern travels. Define the role in your own words. Require the demonstration. Provide the on-ramp. Hold the bar. Repeat it for every function whose standard needs to move. Now the part HR did not want on the agenda. The people who qualify into this role, internally or externally, are worth more than your current compensation bands say they are. Your bands were built for a 2022 operating model, benchmarked against a 2023 survey, and they are already wrong. You're not paying for years of experience anymore. You are paying for people who operate at the bar you just set, and there are not enough of them yet for the market to have a comfortable price. Pay them above market. Say it in writing, say it in the offer, say it to your existing people who qualify, so they do not have to leave to find out what they are worth. I have written about this from a few angles already. Your HR partner needs to read the piece called SCXO, the two things your HR needs to do different before the next comp cycle closes. The CTO, who is already living this problem, is the subject of the piece called He Cannot Hire the Engineer He Needs. Here's what he is doing about it. And if your objection is that the token budget alone makes this person expensive, the piece called Just Give Me the Best Model walks through why the recruiter fee on the replacement dwarfs whatever you thought you were saving. HR will tell you the bands exist to be fair. Fair is a real value, fair at the cost of being unable to hire or retain the people who are about to define what your engineering organization is capable of is not fair. It is just slow. The bands have to move. The leveling has to move. The comp philosophy has to move. You're not buying a better version of 2022. You're buying the 2026 operating model, and the price of that is the price of that. One more thing, because it will come up in your next meeting with your CFO. The person you hire at 20 or 30% above band who qualifies into this role and operates at the throughput we have been describing is not more expensive. They are the cheapest engineer on your payroll, measured the way the business actually works. The expensive engineers are the ones you're paying at band who have not qualified because their unit of output no longer justifies the line item. Your CFO already knows this. The question is whether your comp structure is allowed to act on it. Here's the other half of the standards conversation, the one that keeps CTOs up at night when they are honest about it. The person you were fighting to recruit in 2024, the one you paid top of band for, the one your VP called a franchise pick on the offer call. You are now quietly second-guessing them. They didn't get worse. They are the same person you hired. The standard moved, and they did not move with it because nobody told them the standard had moved. If they are not working agentically in 2026, you're looking at their last three pull requests and wondering whether the person you paid $450,000 all in is actually producing at the level of someone on the new bar making less. You're not going to say that out loud. You're going to say it with your calendar by not putting them on the next strategic initiative, and they are going to feel it. The people you're interviewing this quarter are operating differently. They ship with agents. They think in workflows rather than keystrokes. They read your job description and ask what model access you provide before they ask about comp. The gap between your 2024 hires and your 2026 candidate pool is not a skill gap in the traditional sense. It is an operating model gap, and it widened in 18 months. I was having coffee with my friend Jim last week. Jim is a technical recruiter for a company whose name, you know, he would rather I not put it in print. He has been placing engineers for a long time, which means he has had to throw out his mental model and rebuild it this past year. I asked him what he was seeing, and he said something I have been stealing ever since. The right question on a resume is not years anymore. He said, it is maintenance or advance. I asked him what he meant. I get four resumes with a decade of experience, he said. They look identical on paper. One of them has been shipping new production software continuously since day one through a real delivery workflow, picking up whatever tooling moved the bar every year. The other three have been sitting on top of a platform somebody else built in 2014. Writing tickets, attending meetings, reviewing pull requests from a vendor. They all have 10 years on the line. They are not the same person. Then he said the part that stuck with me. I interviewed someone 2 weeks ago who has been in the industry for 2 years, working in a place where she shipped to production from day one, using agents from the first week, never knew a workflow that was not agentic. On the dimension your hiring managers actually care about in 2026, she has more real experience than the 10-year candidate who has been in maintenance mode for the last seven. And my client's intake forms filter her out because she does not hit the years of experience minimum. I told him that was the whole article I had been trying to write. Your recruiting intake is almost certainly not set up to tell the difference between advance and maintenance, which means you're filtering people out by tenure at exactly the moment tenure is telling you the least. The new bar has to distinguish advance from maintenance inside the building for the people who have been here a decade, outside the building for the people you're trying to hire. There's an adverse selection pattern inside this that every CTO I know has lived through at least once. The people you want to stay leave, the people you wish would leave stay. This is not a coincidence, and it is not bad luck. It is the rational outcome of a company that has not set a new bar. The strongest people in your org have options. They can read the market they are leaving because they can see the standard the rest of the industry is moving to, and they do not want to be stuck in a place that refuses to move with it. The people who are staying are the ones whose best offer is the one they already have. Every quarter you delay setting the standard, the mix in your building gets a little worse on both ends. Nobody on your leadership team wants to say that out loud, because saying it out loud is uncomfortable for the people who are still in the room. Let me do the math out loud, because every CXO reading this has a CFO on their other shoulder. An 800-person engineering organization at a loaded cost of roughly $250,000 per person is a $200 million annual spend. If a 5-person team with the right workflow produces what 30 people used to produce, and that is the number we are measuring, not the number somebody projected. You're currently paying for 4 to 6 times the engineering capacity you need to deliver your current roadmap. I'm not really good at mathematics, but I think that is about $150 million of capacity you could be redirecting toward things that actually grow the business, right? You're not going to fire 80% of your engineers. You're going to ship 4 to 6 times the roadmap you're shipping now in the same calendar year against competitors who already figured this out. Skip the standard and you do not get the multiplier. You get the tool bill and the old throughput, which is the worst outcome available to you. You have spent the money and kept the constraint. Now, the uncomfortable thing, because someone on your board is already saying it in private in late 2022, Elon Musk bought Twitter and cut the engineering organization by roughly 80%. Set aside what you think of Musk personally. The pattern does not require you to like him. The operational fact is that a company with 7,500 employees went to about 1,500 and the service did not fall over. That was pre-AI, no agents. No AI, SDLC. None of the tooling every company has access to now, just a willingness to remove the layers of coordination the old operating model required and run the company at a headcount that looked absurd from the outside. If the Musk example is the one that closes tabs, there are others. Meta's year of efficiency in 2023 removed roughly 21,000 roles. The stock repriced, the product shipped. Shopify sent an internal memo the same year that said any new headcount request had to start by proving an agent could not do the job. And they continued cutting into the existing base. GE, 30 years earlier, spent a decade pulling out management layers because the layers were the thing slowing decisions down. 4 different companies, 4 different CEOs, 4 different industries, 1 pattern. The coordination layer was doing less real work than the headcount said it was, and the organization ran when the layer came out. Your board watched those happen. Your investors watched them happen. The CEOs on the boards of the other companies your board members sit on watched them happen. Every one of them filed the pattern away as a data point. The question they are quietly asking now, with actual agentic tooling available to every company on Earth, is how long until they can expect the same from you? Not 80%, maybe not anywhere near 80%, but something in that direction delivered on a timeline that is no longer generous. You can be the executive who gets in front of that conversation by setting the standard, reshaping the org, and showing the board a deliberate move toward an operating model that actually uses what is available. Or you can be the executive who gets the question across a boardroom table in 12 months and does not have an answer ready. Both of those jobs exist. Only one of them is still yours in 2028. The reason you have not set the standard is not that you do not know you need to. You know, you read the articles, you sent one to your VP of engineering last week. The reason you have not set it is that setting it means telling some of the people who built this company that the thing they were great at for 15 years is not the thing that is great anymore. That conversation is hard. It should be hard. You hired these people, some of them built what the company sells. You owe them a real on-ramp with a real runway and a real shot at qualifying into the new role. Most of them will take it, a few will surprise you, a handful will leave, and you will miss them. You also owe the standard to the rest of the organization, the people who are ready, who have been waiting for the bar to come up. Who are watching you decide whether this company is still the place they should be spending the next 5 years of their career. If you do not set the standard, you're telling them the company has decided to coast. Coasting is not on the menu. The company's coasting in 2026 are the acquisition targets of 2028. You do not need another pilot. You do not need a capability matrix. You do not need a consultant to tell you which tools to standardize on. You need to write the new engineering role in your own words on a single page. Define the qualification in terms someone can pass or fail. Pick the first cohort, your strongest people, not your most available, and send the note that tells the organization the boats are burning. 90 days later, you will know whether you have an organization that can compete in 2028 or whether you're watching one self measure its way into a slow exit. How do you set the new standard for working at your company? And what happens to the organization if you decide one more quarter to wait? This is Norman from Agent Driven Development.
You've been listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.